Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk about Checkbook's 2013 Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees. And to lead us in that discussion is Walt Francis, public policy author and consultant. And how long have you been doing this checkbook guide?
It's, I hate to say it, the 34th year.
And Walt's 50. He started at 16. Wow. And for those of you all listening, it isn't just for the Metro D.C. area. It's the entire country. And to also co-host Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefit Director, NITP, star of Money Magazine's this month's page 106.
Oh, you figured it out.
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
I'm glad
I looked
you did
at it after last week. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Bob. Good to be here.
It's great, and I'm going to get a lesson. But for people like me that may not understand some of these letters, like, can you just help me here? What's a I'm just going to do a few. What's a consumer-driven plan?
You have to start with the hardest one.
Okay, what's a PPO?
Are we going to just take turns ping pong? Okay. PPO, Preferred Provider Organization, and it simply refers to a health plan that uses preferred providers because they negotiate a deal with them for better rates, and then you use the preferred provider. Typically, you're going to pay just a $15, $20, $30 copay. Just about every plan now relies primarily on PPO approach.
Okay. And most of the traditional fee-for-service plans that are available nationwide and worldwide.
What's a fee-for-service?
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not being a pain, but if other people listening to this are like me, they're going, what are you talking about?
Okay. Well, fee-for-service would be your traditional Blue Cross style plan where you have a deductible and then co-payments and co-insurance. And those plans, you can use the preferred providers and save some money. Right, Walt?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What's an HMO?
Health Maintenance Organization, and that's a plan that typically only has preferred providers, if you will, or even network doctors that are you know, only work for the plan, in the case of Kaiser and a few others. And in those plans, you go to they pay nothing outside the preferred provider network, if you will, outside their network. It doesn't mean you can't go, but you're going to pay out of pocket totally.
Okay. All right. So what's this Well, let's do the easier one first. High deductible plan.
I'll let Tammy. I'm going to pass on CDHP to Tammy.
Okay.
But it's actually they're both similar and they're the same idea. A high deductible plan is one that tries to have you put a little more skin in the game in terms of your routine use of health care. They will have a high deductible. It'll be some number like $1,000 for a person and $2,000 for a family. Before the plan benefits kick in, at that point, the plan benefits are just like regular insurance. They now have a PPO network and, or you can go fee for service and they have a catastrophic protection. And by the way, they're all very, very good on catastrophic protection. No loopholes, no gotchas, but they also give you a health savings account and it may be almost as much money as the deductible. So you could use the health savings account to pay for care while you're in that deductible area. Or if you're frugal or lucky, okay, you could wind up the year with a savings account largely intact, carry it forward to the next year, and it can build up, it can earn interest. So that's the model.
And most of those plans will give you part of your premium back to put in your health savings account, so you're going to meet part of your deductible with, they call it a premium pass-through. So I think these high deductible and consumer-driven plans are something a lot of employees should look at. And maybe have just never thought about or don't understand them, but that's where your book comes in because it'll help you understand how they work and what the difference is between the different types of plans.
Okay, just to comment for those of you all like me listening, the high deductible plan is not like a flexible spending account. It's not a use or lose. It's like an IRA for medical purposes that doesn't go away. So if you happen to be very healthy, you could put additional monies into it other than what the plan puts in and save.
I actually sometimes call them IRAs on steroids because the money goes in tax-free, it grows over time tax-free, and you take it out tax-free.
And when you're older, when you're over 65 and on Medicare, you can even use the proceeds to pay your Medicare Part B premium. So you can take that out of it as well. At least according to the brochures, I read that this morning.
Okay, one left, consumer-driven plans.
Well, that's on the same level as the high deductible plan. One of the differences with a consumer-driven plan is you're not going to have a healthcare savings account, but yet if you're an employee, you can still have a flexible spending account. But the consumer-driven plans, again, give you more control of your healthcare, but you are going to pay a higher deductible and, in general, lower premiums for most of those plans as well.
Okay. So for everybody listening now, we've got the basics squared away, and the two masters will lead the chorus. So what changes are there this year, or why? How can I use this? I'm listening now, and I've heard about this, but I also hear it's on a computer. And how do I utilize the benefits that await me?
Okay. Checkbook's guide takes the approach that what you need to think about when you choose a health plan is the insurance value of the plan. Okay. The likelihood that it's going to cover your expenses if you have a very bad health year. Plus, in addition, you know you're going to pay the premium. So we're looking at what's the likely hit to your wallet in plan A versus plan B versus plan C. And we do this by using actuarial methods to compute the insurance value of each plan. And we actually present you, and I'll talk a little bit more about the online guide, because we can do things there that we can't do in the print version. But some people prefer the print version, and it's perfectly okay. You can get it either way. In the online guide, you will enter some information about your health status, your age, your family size. All these things affect the likelihood of lower or higher health care costs, which pay system you're in, whether or not you have Medicare, okay, a whole bunch of variables that affect what you're going to pay and what you're going to get. And then the computer goes the way computers go, whir, click, you know, sort of inside those vacuum tubes, or excuse me, transistors. Oh, no, I guess I slipped.
The ENIAC, right?
Is admitted. And we present you results that compare in a very straightforward way how much money you're likely to save in dollars, plan A versus plan B versus plan C. And in the D.C. metro area, we also let you type in, you know, or choose from a list your doctor's name, doctors, plural, if you have more than one you want to keep, and we'll tell you what plans your doctors are in. So you can find out right off the bat, and we have a set of quality measures. And so which plans are better buys, which plans have higher quality, and which plans have your doctor. And we're talking, and now we're back to the whole point of this, that's open season. Federal employees face yet another year with no pay raise. Health premiums go up. They're not up much this year, but they're up. They always are going to go up. And we find there are potential savings in the ballpark of $2,000 a year for a family that makes a more prudent plan choice. Back to what Tammy said about high deductible and consumer driven plans, we find almost all of those are very good buys, but that's not to say there aren't others. Most of the HMOs in the DC area and around the country are very good buys. Among the fee-for-service PPO type plans, a very simple, the most popular plan is Blue Cross Standard, and it's kind of pricey. Blue Cross Basic is sitting right there, and it's worth, you know, about $1,000 for a family to move from Standard to Basic, you know, in our estimate of likely out-of-pocket.
Okay, could I ask you a question? That 1,000 or 2,000 that you mentioned would be what comes out of the employee's pocket. It's not part of the government's.
Correct. Now, if you move to a less expensive plan, the government's going to save some money too.
Okay.
The employing agency, if anybody who's any budget that's in tight circumstances, we estimate that because the government pays up to 75% of the premium, that when an employee makes a frugal choice for the employee, the S&E account of that agency typically saves about $1,000.
Okay, let me put it into even better terms. Being the accountant, tax type that I am, finance type that I am, in order for somebody to spend $1,000, they have to earn $1,500. Pay the taxes on them. In other words, you're really saving $1,500. You're saving $1,000 out of your pocket, but in order to get that $1,000, you'd have to do it.
Right.
Okay, now we're going to open up the phone lines in just a minute, but we got to taxi off the runway here. Tammy gently reminded me, phone. But I figured we'd do this first.
It's a great day to have people call in, because it is a holiday and a lot of employees might be home listening to us, unless they're out raking leaves or visiting one of the monuments in honor of Veterans Day today.
Okay, you win. 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. Do yourself a favor. As I often mentioned, you got the author. How many years again? 34 years of checkbook. 2013 Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees. And again, it's just not inside the Beltway. It's outside the Beltway because you have every state in the country mentioned in here and the ability to analyze. You can do four comparisons on
a computer. Well, actually, we compare. Yes, we analyze every plan in the country available to federal employees. In fact, around the world. I mean, we cover whatever plans you might join wherever you live. And we compare them all in a brief kind of way, and then we allow an in-depth side-by-side comparison of three or four at once.
Okay. And Tammy's here, too, so, you know, you got
to... I'm here to learn, too. I always learn something.
Three for the price of one, or maybe two for the price of one. Anyway, Tammy, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I was just going to... just kind of an observation for Walt. Looking back over all those years, what have you noticed, like, to be some of the big challenges and changes that employees have had to face when... entering open season, as we're going to do on Monday. You know, open season starts, what, Monday? Oh, today, actually.
Today. Yes.
Hey, this is it. I forgot.
What a kickoff.
How about that? Until, what, December 10th, 11th?
10th this
10th.
Year.
That's another Monday. So we've got 4 full weeks to look at this. So what are we looking at differently today than we did when, let's say we're at the end of our career, and when our career started, I think life was a little simpler, wasn't it?
It was mainly because health insurance was so much less expensive, 30 years ago. But really, the choices and the problems you face haven't changed. Number one, people don't want to compare health plans. It's like going to the dentist. You know, it's just not something you want to do. People mostly don't understand how to compare health plans very well. It's hard to figure out deductibles, co-insurance, co-payments, and how they interact. And some things are included and others are excluded. And it's kind of
too many moving parts.
Mm-hmm. So, but the key questions are the same now as they were 30, 34 years ago. Number one, what's happening with the plan I'm in? Okay. Has the premium gone up or down? Have the benefits changed for the better or the worse? Has my health and my family's health changed for the better or the worse? In other words, is this plan still a good fit? Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a good fit, and you've thought that far, and it's not hard to find out those things. We'll talk about, you can access the brochures through our website or through the OPM website. You don't have to print the bloody things. You can see them electronically. Go to the page. How's this plan changed this year? I mean, it's very simple, quick to check out the plan you're in.
And not only would you save those premium dollars for that year, but for the next year and the next year and the next year. So it's not a one-and-done deal. This could be significant.
Right. But you may choose to be in a higher-priced plan this year. Maybe you're going to have a baby and you want that 100% wraparound coverage for maternity that most of them have. Or maybe you know you're going to have a knee operation or something and you want a particular surgeon. You know, there's reasons to be in a plan that's not the least expensive plan this year. But the point is you have an open season every year. So you can game the system, if you will.
Okay. And we have a caller. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We just got yapping and we knew you were on the phone, but you're on the air now.
Thank you. The reason that I'm calling is because I recently retired. I'll be turning 65 in 2013. We've had the Blue Cross standard for a number of years, and now the kids are grown. We're wondering what things do we have to take into consideration during open season as we choose our health plan when I'm at the point where I'm also going to be applying for Medicare.
Couple points. First, when you do reach age 65, you'll get a special personal open season. So you don't have to make that choice until then. But you don't really want to be switching plans halfway through the year and have to learn a new set of red tape and all that. So first point is to know that a very many people stay in Blue Cross Standard and use it with Medicare Parts A and B. And that's a very good way to keep your healthcare costs very close to zero. There's a price to it, however, and the price is really awfully high. The total premium cost for Blue Cross Standard for a couple plus two Medicare Part B premiums in 2013 is going to be over $7,700. That is, if you never see a doctor, you're going to be paying almost $8,000 in premium. So you really want to think hard about, do you want to stay in Blue Cross Standard? And there are a number of options. Most of the national plans give you the same kind of 100% wraparound deal. So, you know, you can look for any of them with a lower premium, and most of them have it. So letter carriers,
Samba Standard is a lower cost one that does have very comparable benefits to Blue Cross as far as its overall coverage and good prescription plan.
Absolutely. APWU.
Samba. S-A-M-B-A.
Mm-hmm.
Standard option, not high option.
Yeah, yeah.
APWU. Some of the, like, that stands for American Postal Workers Union. Don't worry about that. Those union plans work just fine. You don't have to join the union even. GEHA Standard, which is a great deal, except its prescription drug coverage is not as good. We'll probably talk more about that.
If you don't fill a lot of prescriptions, though, that's an excellent choice.
Yeah. Almost any HMO is a good combination. They don't give you the 100% guarantee, but you're getting such good coverage to begin with that it hardly matters, and you can use your Medicare benefit to go out of plan. So let me stop there. You've got lots of choices, and we cover them in the guide, but you don't have to use it. You can use, to some degree, the OPM website. It doesn't get into the kind of advice Tammy and I give, but certainly you can use it to do some detective work. But there's another key question. Do you want to take Part B, yes or no? Okay, and that's a very individual choice. There are pluses to it and there are minuses to it. The minus is it's costly.
You got to pay for it.
The pluses, and doesn't bring you back enough benefits to account for the premium cost. Also, some people are going to be in some of the more affluent federal retirees, shall we say. If your adjusted gross income is over $170,000, you will have to pay more than the regular Medicare premium, sometimes double or triple.
Nice thing about having Medicare A and B with the federal plans, though, if you look in Section 9 of any one of the federal health plan brochures, it will tell you how your plan coordinates its benefit with Medicare. And in most of the fee-for-service plans, like Blue Cross and GEHA, most of the plans Walt was mentioning, is those plans will waive their normal deductible, co-insurance, and co-payment. So once you've paid the Part B premium and you've paid your premium for your health plan, that's about all you're going to pay out of pocket other than co-pays on prescriptions and dental and vision.
Right, and that's benefit number one of choosing to have Parts A and B. Benefit number two is it gives you a little political insurance in case Congress finds a way to muck up. I hope it's unlikely, but, you know, there are threats to the FEHVP.
Lets you go out of network, too.
That's the key there. All right. So,
Can I ask the caller a question?
Out of network is very important.
Are you still on the line?
I am. I'm listening.
He's taking feverish notes.
I'm taking notes. I hope you are, too. Here's the question. We don't know who you are. Will you be working after you retire?
I will probably not work more than very part-time.
Okay, because I learned something from the show about 2 weeks ago, and I'm of Medicare age and just signed up and then was thinking about a high-deductible plan but found that I can't if I'm covered under Medicare, but I don't really need to be covered under Medicare because I am working full-time and I have I'm not a Fed, so I have health insurance.
The key is you have health insurance through your employer, so
right.
He'll still have his health insurance through his retirement,
yeah,
which is different.
So
yeah.
just a comment.
Yeah.
In fact, by the way, those who don't retire at age 65 and keep on working, just to pick up on Tammy's point, you have a penalty-free deferment of signing up for Part B. So as long as you're getting employer-paid health insurance, Part B will be secondary. It doesn't give you much value at all. So I know people who are 70 years old who haven't bothered to sign up for Part B yet, but when they actually retire, they will.
Okay. Tammy, can I ask you a question, and Walt? Can I unsign up for Medicare if I made the mistake of doing it?
You can.
Okay.
You can disenroll.
Okay, good, because you know, I'd rather have the high deductible plan.
Sure.
Because it doesn't make any difference until I never retire, of course.
Yep.
And by the way.
Same goes for your spouse, too, although she is so much younger than you, it wouldn't matter. But if your spouse
is
the same age.
I think everybody is. All right, caller. I hope we answered all your questions and then some.
I would recommend that he use this, especially the online guide is really great, you know, that Walt has produced and created, because it's going to help him narrow down the choices. Because there are a lot of choices that do work well with Medicare. There's a lot of choices for working employees. And it's hard. I think that's the hardest thing. It's almost like decision indecision, because you have so many choices, you just kind of like freeze. You block it out.
Okay, we got them stacked up now. Did we answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It was fun.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Medicare as the hour goes on, so keep listening.
Okay, good morning. Next caller.
Yes, I'm calling because I recently retired a year ago, and I currently have Blue Cross Blue Shield standard option, and I also have Medicaid Part B, and both of them are over $100. One is $185, mm-hmm. The other one is $100 and something else. And it just seems to me that I should have a better option than all of this.
You're right. Yeah, Blue Cross standard option is the gold standard, I guess we could say, because what percentage of employees? I think it's like 70%.
Well, it's not that high, but
it's pretty high.
It's close to half.
Yeah, close to half.
The two Blue Cross plans together are almost
50%. Okay. Yeah, so there are a lot of other choices, and Walt's looking at the book right now for a single person who has Medicare A and B, and he's going to give you some information about that.
Well, actually, it's pretty much the same information mm-hmm. that Tammy and I already provided the previous caller, because mm-hmm. the same plans that are goodbyes for couples are going to be, I think you're single because your premium would have been higher, mm-hmm. are very goodbyes for self-onlys, too. So take a look at some of the other national plans that have a considerably lower premium, and your Medicare Part B premium, you're sort of stuck with what it is. So you really have a number of possible choices that will give you the same good wraparound, no deductibles, no co-insurance, no co-pays for your hospital and doctor bills that you get with Blue Cross Standard. Blue Cross Basic, by the way, which is an excellent alternative, does not give you that wraparound, mm-hmm. and you have to use their preferred providers to get any benefits from that plan, but it's actually a very good choice for people with Parts A and B.
Plus, it gives you some dental and vision, too, I think.
Yeah, a little dental and vision, but it lets you, I'm back to you can go out of network, mm-hmm. your earlier point.
Okay, well, the caller mentioned that she's retired. Am I correct with that?
Yes.
Last year.
Okay, so that you might, I don't know that you can access this via an agency's computer.
No,
but,
I can't.
But how could the young lady access your guide?
Okay, and well, let me say first, a lot of agencies do subscribe for all their employees. The way to find out, in theory, your agency will tell you, but they're always not very good at that.
But if we're retired.
Yeah, but in either case, go to our website, www.guidetohealthplans.org. And it's .org, and it's Guide to Health Plans.
One more time.
www.guidetohealthplans.org.
Thank you.
And right there on that first page, it'll tell you if your agency's participating for those who are not retired. For those who are retired, there's an easy way to subscribe. It's, you know, we have to charge because, you know, we have to pay to make our livings, but it's very inexpensive.
How about public libraries?
They almost all have it in D.C. metro area. It's very popular. So they
used to be able to pick this up at like CVS Pharmacy around here. They still stock these in the local?
They do stock mm-hmm. them in the local book and grocery and mm-hmm. drugstores, but they probably aren't on the shelves yet.
Just yet.
Because there's a very slow distribution system, and it takes a week or two to crack that system. It's very simple. The other thing you can do is just call Checkbook, okay, mm-hmm. and they can either send you the paper version or put you
online.
On the Checkbook number is 202-347-7283.
7283?
Yeah, 202-347-7283.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, mm-hmm. and thank you for
Good
calling.
Good luck with open season.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now. All righty, well, that was a good question. Somebody retired. Let's go to the opposite end. The new kid on the block, if you will. Recent hire, say within the last 5 years or the last 5 months.
He's paying off college loans and trying to struggle with rent and car payments and everything else. So they don't have a lot of cash and they're in good health generally.
That's right. And we of course, take that into account in our ratings. But I want to say to the new hires, you are out of your mind if you don't consider a high deductible plan.
Yeah.
And the reason, first place, if you do, they all give you a free annual physical. So that's
consumer driven even.
Yeah. But no, because the high deductible is better because it's a life, it's that IRA on steroids that
I'm after. If you can fund it.
Right, but most of the a big chunk is funded right out of your premium, as you discussed.
That's true.
It's part of the
deal.
True. So, and I'm just going to read you a number because I think it's suggests the possibilities, there is a plan called GEHA High Deductible Health Plan. GEHA has three different plans. That's one of the three. In that plan, if you join it, you're supposedly paying a premium of $1,260 a year, but actually there's a tax preference for that, and there's a savings account that we talked about, and the actual cost to you for being at, in that health plan, if you do nothing more than an annual physical for a year, is $90.
Okay. Because they're giving you back most of your premium.
Yeah, and at the end of the year, you're going to have a health savings account of whatever, I don't remember offhand, but it's somewhere around $1,000, okay, right, in a bank account earning interest. You can actually invest it in the stock market.
Yeah, because your preventative care is covered with no deductible.
Yeah, and then the next year, the same thing happens again. And the next year, and after a period of not very many years, you have a significant chunk of change if you ever do have an illness to pay the cost of that as you, through the deductible before the plan insurance part kicks in, or something you can build the rest of your life.
And if you're really tied to the anything with the word blue in it, in the D.C. area, Blue Cross is offering, it's Blue Choice, is offering a high deductible version this year as well.
But
it's limited to the D.C. area.
That's
Maryland,
correct.
Maryland, Virginia, and D.C.
That's correct.
And it's not, I don't think it's as good of a buy, perhaps.
It's not quite as good a buy, but hey, that's the kind of choice people make. And you know, every plan is not equal.
Equally.
The one that's the best dollar buy on average may not be the best one for you. You have to
depending on what you use.
Depending on what you use, when
and
you
which
like.
Doctors you go to.
And do you like HMOs or dislike HMOs? You know, people, there's all kinds of preferences that come into play on this. But yeah, that's right. There's a half dozen high deductible plans. Care First, Blue Choice, which Tammy just mentioned. GEHA has one.
MHBP.
MHBP.
And Aetna's a big
and
one.
And Aetna.
Mm-hmm. How's Aetna as far as the buy for the high deductible version?
It's a very good buy.
Mm-hmm. Because it does give you a good premium rebate as well, and it has the good preventative benefits. I guess they all do. They all have to cover preventative care this year.
Yep.
Okay, let's move forward then. We started with a new hire. Let's say we're a new hire, no longer a new hire, but we're not ready for retirement. 10 years into it, maybe. Let's do single and let's do joint. What are they looking at? This is pre-children.
Okay.
Do they each get their own plan?
Probably not. If the two Fed employees can each choose their own plan, and so usually two self-only premiums are less than a family premium. The problem with that is you now have two different catastrophic guarantees that you face. That is, suppose you're in a car accident. If the plan says you never out of pocket more than $5,000 for you and your family, well, if you're in two self-onlys, it's $5,000 each instead of $5,000 total.
Yeah, you got to watch the out-of-pocket expenses. Sometimes that can get you. Especially if you have some chronic illnesses or you have a major medical expense next year.
Okay. Let's then move forward. Children arrive. What are we looking at now?
Well, then you got to have family coverage.
You think?
And you got to have a self and family plan.
All the plans now cover free, all the preventive stuff that kids need, vaccinations, routine immunizations, and so on. So your well-child checkup, all that is costless in no matter what plan you're in. So you may care about whether or not your pediatrician is in a particular plan. So that's a factor to consider. And that's something you can check. You can call your pediatrician's office, okay, or you can use the online guide and we'll tell you. Still should probably check by calling the office. The question is not who's in the plan this year. It's are they going to be in it next year?
Right.
And there are many very good buys. A lot of families prefer HMOs at that stage in life simply because the HMO helps arrange care, helps find you physicians.
It can be one-stop shopping in some of the HMOs where they have their own facilities and you can go there, fill your prescriptions, get your preventative care, and have a lab test all at the same place.
Yeah.
And that's good for someone who's new to the area, too, that they don't want to shop around for doctors. They join that health plan and it's there. They have all the doctors available.
Absolutely.
It's a good point, Tammy, and what we do in these shows, we started 2 weeks ago with Medicare, and then last week we had flexible spending accounts that really don't have that much to do with health insurance, maybe a little bit. But
oh, sure they do. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but it's not choosing a health plan.
Right.
And then we have the orchestra leader today, Walt, and next week we'll have a particular plan on, the week after that a particular plan on. So we'll cover
We like to focus on open season because it is related to retirement, because retirees, this is one of the biggest benefits you carry into retirement, is your federal health insurance. And it can also be a big expense. Healthcare as you get older can cost a lot of money. So choosing the best health plan for your situation is, I think, very important. You can save, what, literally thousands of dollars by making the wrong choice or making the right choice, I guess.
Yeah, I'd like to think of it positively.
Yeah, make the right choice.
But turn it around the other way. Think of a year with a pay freeze, okay, so, and health insurance premiums are going up. There's a way to give yourself a pay raise, okay?
Yeah, or pay for Medicare Part B by picking a less expensive health plan because the difference can cover the cost of Part B.
Okay, so we're at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. Now, Walt, and I know you do health fairs, and I know you'll be on this station on another show. But how would one, it would be impossible for everybody to get you, but how would one, if they weren't lucky enough to listen to the show or go to one of these health fairs, how do they contact your organization?
Okay, the key thing is we just have to say you got to look at the guide first, you know, because we answer about 99% of all the questions, but we don't answer every question. So what we say is if you've subscribed or if you're in an agency that's subscribed on your behalf and you use the guide either paper or online and still are perplexed and there are some very confusing situations, just email Checkbook and I will probably be the one to send you a reply and give you my advice for your particular situation.
Great.
We will help you.
All right, let me do a little role playing here. I want Dr. X, Y, and Z. Man, I don't care what plan I get. I just want to know I have access to them. How could I use the guide or the computer to tell me which will give me the best price?
So, in other words, you want the best health plan, but you don't want to change doctors or
I
providers.
I want the doctor, right.
Well, let me say first, wherever you are, you can always call doctors X, Y, and Z and say, what health plans are you preferred with, okay? And actually, the office staff are usually, they'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or are they going to be preferred with next year? So everyone has that option open to them. For those who use the online guide and use a DC zip code, I mean, in effect, you better be in the DC metro area, you can actually use our Doc Find feature and put your doctor's names in, and we'll tell you right off the bat what plans your doctors are in. And then we tell you which of those plans are a better buy. So, you know, there are a couple ways people can do this. It's, I think, always important to remember, though, let's say there's this one doctor who you want to use who's not in any health plan. What do you do? Well, one answer is you go join a plan. It's a PPO with a fee-for-service, you know, twist to it, which most of them have, and you use that fee-for-service to cover even a doc who's not preferred in the network. It may only pay half the cost, but, hey, half's better than nothing. Or maybe you pay out of your pocket by the amount you saved from joining that plan with such a lower premium. Or maybe you use your health savings account if you are in a high-deductible plan. Or maybe we haven't talked about flexible spending accounts really yet, but let me throw that out on the table. If you know you're going to see Doc Sawbones four times next year at $200 a clip, you could put $800 in a flexible spending account, in effect getting a one-third discount because that money is now no longer counted as taxable income. And you probably don't know it, but your marginal tax rate, the one that sort of affects how much you're going to save out of that change, is probably 30-35%, counting federal and state income tax and OASDI Medicare tax.
Right, easily. Yeah, we preached that last week. We had a really good show on flexible spending accounts with
Bart Turney.
Bart Turney from what is it?
FSA Feds.
FSA. Yeah, you know, I get lost with all these acronyms. FSA.
The alphabet.
Sorry, Bart. So. Listen to that show as well. We really dug into, like what Walt just said. I mean, it's quadruple tax-free. And just not to put people to sleep, but everybody has a base level of income that's probably listening to the show, be it an annuity, be it a salary, and that takes you to a certain tax bracket. And that's your personal highest bracket. So whatever comes in after that gets taxed at that level. But much more importantly, like what Walt just said, whatever comes off the top, you save at your top tax bracket. And the number that Walt used is certainly relevant to, I would say, most, if not all people listening at a minimum. Right? And it can go up from there. And who knows what's going to happen next year? I don't know. If I knew, I could answer a lot of questions easier. But you know it's not going to go down. Or at least you don't think it's going to go down. Okay, so where were we? We were.
I'm still looking at this online version because when you go to the online checkbook guide, it asks you some questions, so it kind of narrows down the choices that you have in your area. And if you want to put in your doctor's names, how many doctors can you submit in that selection process?
You know, I don't know if there's an actual limit, but okay. I know I have certainly seen it done with four or five different.
Right, because what it does, it comes up and it says, here's all the plans available, and here's all the plans that your doctors participate in. And then you can narrow it down from all different kinds of things, such as cost-sharing features, cost comparison, ones that cover vision and dental or hearing benefits, even just the quality of the plan based on, I guess, feedback from what the...
Mostly feedback from people who are in the plan.
And provide a quality control mm-hmm. type thing. So I think this is a great tool to use to help somebody narrow down. And it even has a Medicare feature as well to talk about if you have Medicare as primary, it'll tell you which plans waive the deductibles and copayments, right?
Absolutely. And which ones, and of course, always, which ones are the best buys.
And you mentioned something before we went on air that years ago there wasn't a large number of people that changed plans. But you mentioned that the last couple years that percentage is going up, maybe because there was a pay freeze, maybe because people listened to the show, or they listened to you at health fairs, or they heard about this and the like. And so what's not to like?
Yeah, actually, one thing that happened in the last few years, but it's probably going to change now. Blue Cross Standard was having kind of a rocky road. Their premium was going up quite a bit every year, more than the average. And a lot of people decided it made sense to go to Blue Cross Basic. And a couple hundred thousand moved from Standard to Basic over the last two or three years. But what's interesting, this year, the Blue Cross Standard premium actually is down a few pennies, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think they've
coming a little closer
together. They've worked hard to bring their costs down, and they're doing some case management things like many other plans, like almost all the plans in this system. They're emphasizing with cash differences in reimbursement using generic instead of name brand drugs. So the plans are not passive in all this. They can you know steer their own future to some degree.
Well, for our Medicare listeners, the people who are saying I'm qualified or I'm going to qualify for Medicare, there's another choice for them. It's called Medicare Advantage, which sometimes is referred to as Medicare Part C. And I noticed on your online version, I saw it mentioned. Can you say anything about Medicare Advantage plans? Are they something federal retirees should consider? Is it
absolutely. And how do I say this? The Medicare Advantage system works a whole lot like the federal employee system. In any given area, there will be 20, 30, 40 plans you can choose from. Some will be HMOs, some will be PPOs, some will be PPO plus fee for service.
So now you've just doubled or tripled your number of choices.
Yeah. Yeah, and same companies, Aetna, Blue Cross, United, you know, Humana, offer them. The deal is if you can, as a federal retiree, you can suspend your FEHPP enrollment, which means you don't pay any FEHPP premium, and join a Medicare Advantage plan. And typically, all you do is they get the Part B premium, and they get another subsidy directly from Medicare that you're not a party to. It's often the case you will pay no extra premium, okay, and you will get a good health insurance plan. It won't be probably quite as good, and it'll have a little higher cost sharing. The coverage will be great in terms of does it cover all possible mm-hmm. categories of expense. That'll be great. But you'll pay a little more out of pocket, particularly for drugs, if you run into expensive drug situation. But you're only paying the one premium instead of two. So, for a couple, and they can both do this, instead of paying next year roughly $1,300 each in Part B plus a $2,000 or $3,000 FEHB premium, they'll only pay that $2,600 for two Part B premiums. If you don't like the Medicare Advantage plan, a year later, you can come back in to the FEHB system, cancel the suspension. To do this, you have to do it through OPM. You actually have to call them. They want to be sure you understand how it works. So don't make the mistake of dropping FEHB coverage.
No, don't cancel it.
Don't ever cancel or drop.
Suspending are two different things,
yeah.
Right?
And the other point I'd make is the MA plans, or Medicare Advantage plans, all have very good catastrophic protection now, all of them. Okay, so you are typically guaranteed you won't be out of pocket for hospital and doctor bills more than around $3,000 or $4,000. Okay, and you have a drug protection that's another $5,000 or so. It's not, you know,
not as good.
Not as good,
still, yeah.
But it's there also. So it's not like you're giving up, you know, some. You're not putting yourself at risk.
And
so,
another group of retirees who can suspend their federal health insurance would be those with TRICARE. Because if you're a military family or military and federal retired, you don't necessarily need FEHB, TRICARE, Medicare, everything. So if you want to suspend the federal to use TRICARE, they also would allow that.
Right.
The same procedure, you call OPM as a retiree.
Yeah, and that's a very good deal. Obviously, the same result. You're paying just your Medicare Part B premiums and don't have to pay the FHEP premium. And the TRICARE cost sharing is very good. Prescription drugs are very inexpensive and so on. The only problem with that solution is that TRICARE has a pretty limited network, and a lot of people feel constrained. And so, you know, you could TRICARE for life, it's called at that, mm-hmm. once you're in Medicare. And if you have problems with the network constraints, well, you can always undo your suspension and go back into the FEHEP system.
Yeah.
And use both, actually, in that case.
What about healthcare reform? Are we looking at any big changes as a result of healthcare reform that kick in next year for either employees, retirees, Medicare, any of the programs? I know the one thing is the reduction in the flexible spending account limit went from $5,000 to $2,500 for healthcare. And I think it as a result of healthcare reform, there's some additional preventative care that's now covered in all federal health plans as required by the new law. But is there anything else that's hidden that we don't know of? Is that about it?
There's nothing lurking. It's that FSA ceiling reduction, but very few people would have gone above $2,500 anyway. But for them, it's a definite loss. Some people needed or wanted that extra set aside. So don't worry about health reform. It's not having any other. The big effect was the one we've already had, the age up to age 26 children. You're ne'er-do-well offspring who couldn't get that job after college. But that's already well digested and in place. No other big changes.
And for those who are retired in the D.C. area, are you going to be at health fairs that are for retirees coming up? I know there's one on November 17th in Virginia, right?
I think the two big things, I'm at it'll be a number of places,
yes.
including, as Bob mentioned,
fairs.
On this station a couple more times.
Yeah.
But several of the local area congressmen sponsor, they're not just health fairs, they're major events, mm-hmm. and they have several speakers, including people from NARF and
OPM
and me.
And the congressman.
And the congressman. And Congressman Connolly has one on Saturday, November 17th.
Next Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody
Woodson,
hear that? A Saturday.
Yeah. Woodson High School, this is Fairfax County. And Congressman Van Hollen in Montgomery County is going to have two health events. One of them on Wednesday, November 28th, and I'm looking at my calendar here, and one of them on Thursday the 15th.
Do you know where they are?
Yeah, the 15th is in the morning, 9 o'clock, at Holiday Park Senior Center. Okay,
which I know that well. Connecticut and Vera's Mill.
Exactly. Boy, that's arcane knowledge.
You spend your afternoons there. Is that it, Bob?
That's right next door to it was a community pool.
Okay.
And that's where I grew up.
And the other one, the one on the 28th, will be in the evening, 7 p.m., and it will be at the Montgomery County Executive Office Building in downtown Rockville.
Which is a half a block from where I work.
They can come
visit you. Well, you can come attend both and learn a little more, Bob.
Well, I could go to these for the rest of my life and not understand them, so I thoroughly enjoy this show, and I will probably listen to it.
Will you have your
well.
Books available there, Walt?
I will.
Yeah, so you can get a book, you can get a health plan brochure. I think it is a wonderful place, especially for retirees who sometimes feel a little bit disconnected, that they don't get the information coming from the workplace, that they could attend these events and still get the same information and talk to the people from Blue Cross or the people from GEHA or Aetna. They're usually there. Just like they would be at the employee health fairs,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure you're doing a lot of those, too.
Well, yes, I am, and they're fun because I actually get to counsel people personally, which I love doing.
I mean, all agencies are important, but are you going to any, like, really big agencies where they have an auditorium with a couple hundred people or 100 people?
None of the events are really like that anymore. There used to be a few. So I'll be at some of the health fairs. There'll be other people from Checkbook at quite a few of the health fairs. So I just say, you know, sort of that sort of catch as catch can. The main thing about the health fairs is the plans are there with brochures and with plan representatives to talk to you about, you know, I want to use acupuncture and, you know, does your plan cover it or whatever those kind of questions are.
Okay. I think the next caller wants to talk about acupuncture. Good morning.
Not talking about acupuncture. Good morning to Bob.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Ed.
Hi. Tammy, and this is also, I think, Walt, you may want to hear this question regarding TRICARE and federal employees' health insurance. Now, that's regarding suspending. So you're mentioning about suspending your federal employees' health insurance. You mentioned, Walt, about going into a Medicare Advantage plan. But you can, my understanding is, you can suspend your federal employees' health insurance to go into TRICARE. And vice versa.
When you're retired, yeah.
When you're retired. But in order to do that, of course, you must have had the federal employees' health insurance or TRICARE during the last 5 years preceding your retirement date.
Yeah, you have to carry the health plan into retirement, so that is a good point, yeah.
I'm getting this question because now I'm going to all these military places now, going around and getting questions from people who have TRICARE, and they want to know, well, if after I retire, if I live in a part of the country in which doctors and hospitals do not even know what TRICARE is, what do I do? And I said, well, you have the federal employees. In that case, you can suspend your TRICARE and go into the federal employees' health insurance. And the TRICARE does count towards that five-year participation rule leading up to retirement date. But don't you have to have the federal employees' health insurance at least for the last 30 days during that last year of your federal employment?
Yeah, that's a good point, Ed. So when an employee, someone who's planning to retire in 2013 perhaps, this would be a good time if the only coverage you have is TRICARE. You know, open season starts today, so jump into one of the federal health plans, maybe pick one of the least expensive ones, so you have that coverage in January, and then if you retire in February, March, or any time next year, that TRICARE coverage will count towards your 5 years of coverage, and you'll be able to carry that civilian plan into retirement and do exactly what Ed was explaining about. So that is a wonderful benefit for military families to take advantage of, whether you're the retiree or whether you're the family member.
And also, he's alerting us to a really important point. You will lose coverage in retirement if you are not continuously enrolled for 5 years before retirement, either in TRICARE or the FEHVP. TRICARE counts towards that. So you better not, if you plan to retire 2 years from now, you better be covered by FEHVP.
Yeah, if you're under your spouse's non-federal plan and you have 5 years to go to work, this is the time to jump in.
That's a good point. When I was doing, as you know, I do seminars up in Detroit and Warren, Michigan, Big Three. I was there I was there up in there back in 2003. All the employees are saying, "Well, we don't have to worry about FEHV because we have our spouse's wonderful Big Three auto workers health insurance plan,
guaranteed for life." Right?
Guaranteed for life. Well, unfortunately, the Big Three ran into some problems and they dropped their. Well, they made it very, very difficult for retirees to keep, they want to keep their insurance for retirement.
Expensive.
So the bottom line is the same people were there back in 2003 have come back in 2012 because they have to fulfill the five-year rule.
Right.
So they're wanting coverage. Also, I just want to mention something about this 30-day rule for the federal employees' health insurance. If you have TRICARE, you got to be in a federal employees' health insurance for at least 30 days. This is during your last year of federal employment. What I mentioned during the seminar is the fact that the FEHV plans take effect on the first day of the new leave year. So if you are going to be retiring next year and you have TRICARE, you have to be in a federal employees' health insurance for at least 30 days, and that 30 days starts as the first day of the new leave year, which is not January 1st, it's January 13th.
Right. That's
so
right.
You have to
be
careful when you pick your retirement date in order to fulfill that 30-day rule.
Hey, that's good, Ed. Thanks for calling in.
Always my pleasure.
Yep.
Boy, Ed knows taxes like he knows benefits. I don't know many like that. So anyway, we have another caller. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I wasn't sure you were talking to me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I also am retiring in 2013. I'll be turning 65 in 2013, so I have this Medicare thing looming over me.
Mm-hmm.
My agency doesn't subscribe to Ed's checkbook, so while I was listening to you on the computer, I logged in and bought it. It's phenomenal in terms of the amount of information, but that's the challenge. As I sat there and looked at it, it's completely overwhelming, and trying to figure out Part A and Part B and whether I take it or not, and then which federal plan I move into, how do you deal with it? I mean, where do I go? How do I start?
Well, I think you've actually taken a very good first step. And I don't want you to try to do this after we're done with the show. But just when you've entered your personal information, you get to that first screen that shows you all the plans for which you're eligible locally in your area, and you've told it, you're going to have Medicare Parts A and B. It'll show you what the deal is, okay, for someone in that situation. Don't look at all the plans. Think about what are the top two or three, okay? And you'll see, for example, you could limit your choice to HMOs or limit your choice to those that are not HMOs, for example. So we give you the flexibility to circumscribe that. Otherwise, there's almost 30 plans available DC area.
Pick two or three to stack them up next to each other, and then you almost really have to study this a little bit and really think about, you know, what are the differences if I chose to go into an HMO versus stay with something like Blue Cross, because that's going to help you decide if that's really what you want, because some people don't want the restrictions of an HMO, other people don't mind. So I think that'll help you narrow it down.
The other thing is we have you'll see a little place on the screen where it says advice and explanations.
Mm-hmm.
Click
yeah.
that. There's actually the full text of the book there, okay?
Oh, that's right. I just did that.
In
yeah,
chapter
that's really good.
Two of the book, we have a long section of advice on Medicare, whether or not to take Part B, all kinds of tips about how to think about it, what to take into account.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's great.
And you don't, and that section, we don't get into which plan is better. We get into kind of thinking about your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use that advice together with the computer results, I think you're going to help find it's going to really simplify your life.
And we have 1 minute left. Not to cut anybody short.
And that's fine. You've really helped a lot. And I can heartily recommend the website, even though I haven't started using it. It just feels like I found a solution. So
yeah, there's
thank
a
you.
Lot there.
All righty. Thanks for calling and listening. Walt, final comments?
I wish people would just take even a few minutes. They don't have to use Checkbooks Guide. I mean, I wish they would, but they don't have to. Just think about your health situation. Look at the brochure. Sure, the plan you're in. They're probably not mailing it to you now, but you can look at it online, think about it, and think at least about the possibility of one or two other plans to compare.
Okay. Yeah,
the other website is opm.gov/insure if you just want to go to your particular plan site, so that as well.
Okay, thanks for listening. Walt will be on this week on Think My Causes show. Thanks. Listen to the beginning of the show for people like me to understand, and enjoy your week. Bye-bye.